chapter 8, if you will. Gospel of John, chapter 8, a familiar passage. Of course, this is part of our theme for the year. We got a little behind on our banners here, so we are a little empty. Whenever you take down all the Christmas decorations, the place just looks so doggone empty. But the banners weren't here yet, and so they should be coming in this week, and we'll get all that up and done. Our theme this year is, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And so we will get to that. John chapter 8, verse 31 through 36. Got a message here that we need to hear, and it'll be a blessing to you, I believe. John chapter 8, verse number 31. And Jesus is out preaching, and this is what it says. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him. The Bible says he came into his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. In general, he was not received, but there were some who did. And here were some Jews who actually believed Jesus. In other words, he believed who he was. I think they believed he was the Messiah, and I believe he was the one who was to come to be the Savior. They believed on him. Now watch me. That's good, but watch on. Then Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. Now, if we continue in his word, become his disciples. But the word disciple simply means this, a learner. Now, it didn't say a listener, a learner. A lot of kids go to school and they listen, and it goes in one ear and out the other. There's some of it where it gets trapped in the middle there and they learn. He said, I want you to just listen to what's going on. I want you to learn it. If you learn it, it becomes part of your fabric of who you are. He says, then you shall be my disciples indeed. Now watch this. So what happens? What's the result if I continue in his word? And ye shall know the truth. And what's the result of knowing the truth? And the truth shall make you free. Free from what? I mean, look at us. You know, America does the same thing. What do you mean free? Americans say, what do you mean free? I'm just fine. I got a job. I got a house. I got a car. I got a wife. I got kids. We're doing okay. Free from what? I am free. They answered him, verse 33, we be Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. Which is really kind of a lie if you think about Abraham's seeds were in bondage all over the place. But they were under the rule of Rome right there. They're under bondage and they don't know it. That's what it's saying. And you know what? There's a lot of people who are under the bondage of sin and they don't know it. They've lived so long, they were born into it. And they've lived in it all their life. They don't know any different. They really don't know what freedom is. They answered, and we be Abraham's seed. We're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be free? Jesus answered them, verse 34, verily, verily. By the way, when we say verily, it means truly. Now, in the Hebrew or in the Greek, in the Greek there, if you want to say something is really, really true, you say it's true, true. This is a true truth. Okay, he says this is a true truth. Now listen to him. He says, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. When you commit sin, sin got the best of you. And really the word committed there gives the idea that this is just kind of a normal way of life. Now we all go, but even when it's not a normal way of life, and just kind of, by the way, you don't really slide into sin. You make a decision. But, you know, when sin gets the best, even if it's just once in a while, it's getting the best of us. He says, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant. And that word servant means slave to. Being pressured to be. Is the servant of sin. And watch. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth forever. I'll discuss that in a few minutes. If the son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I'm going to preach a message. I'm going to have a word of prayer here. I'm going to preach a message that I've entitled, Why Does Sin Get the Best of Us? Why does sin get the best of us? Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for your blessings. I thank you for your word. We thank you for the message it gives us. Thank you for the hope that it gives us. Thanks for the help it gives us. Thank you that it gives us truth to live on. Lord, help us to learn. Help us to listen. Help us to be the disciples we need to be. And Lord, give us the freedom to set us free as we open the word here this morning. But Lord, we need you to do your work in our life and in our heart, and we will give you the praise for it. In Christ's name, amen. Our theme this year is, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now, last week, we looked at the significance of truth. And we found that Jesus is the truth. And we found that the Word of God is truth. Now, listen, there's a lot of foundational things we're doing here. And if you take those that phrase that I just gave you, and you just kind of say, well, okay, we'll just kind of throw it over here. Let me go on with life. No. The Word of God is truth. You've got to settle that in your heart. Listen, the world is doing everything it can to put doubt in your mind about what truth is. Listen, God is even using Christians to place doubt. They'll give you several different versions of a Bible, and they don't all say the same thing. Makes you doubt. Doubt did to me. Makes you doubt truth. In fact, basically, they're doing what old Satan said all along. Hath God said, you've got to settle in your heart that this is the word of truth. By the way, if you read through this thing enough times, you'll realize man could not have done a book like this. It was written by 40 different authors over 1,600 years, and they didn't know it. Listen, they didn't live 1,600 years. So the first guy didn't know the last guy. And the guys, a lot of guys didn't know the other. They didn't live in the same area and all those kinds of things. Some of them way back in Abraham's time. Some of them was Moses' time. And the thing is, the message is totally cohesive. It totally matches. It's the Word of God. It was settled in heaven forever. It's the Word of God. So get that in your mind that Jesus is that the Word of God is truth. But Jesus was the Word made flesh. And so what Jesus did in his life was a manifestation of the Word. Now, when we're speaking of truth, that naturally brings up the concept of untruth. Misinformation. Disinformation. If there is such thing as truth, then there must be something that is untrue. Or else everything is true or has the capacity to become true. And kind of that's where we are in this world. In fact, the world, that is where the world is today. Many in our society have decided that truth is determined by the consensus of the members of that particular society. It may not have been true, but we have decided it's true. Now, over there in this culture over here, they've decided that this is true, so this is truth. No. To them, truth is relative. Not absolute. To them, truth can fluctuate. That which was true may not be right, maybe it was right today, but it may not be right tomorrow or in the next decade. That which was once true has been true for thousands of years may not be true any longer if society deems it not to be true. That's where we're living. Society has adopted Satan's offer and has decided to take charge and bite into the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil so they can be gods knowing or deciding what is good and what is evil. There are many people in this world who want to live a free and happy life, but they don't. Because they live life according to the lies of the world. Somehow they think they can live according to the deceitfulness of this world and still have the right to enjoy the blessings of heaven. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. But some think they can live in deceitfulness of the world and still eat from the tree of life. The world, the flesh, and the devil all lie to us. Satan came to Adam and Eve in a perfect world and lied to them and was able to convince them that he had a better plan for them than God did. They questioned the truth of God's word and fell for the lie and cast all mankind out of a perfect garden into the curse. Satan tried to do the same thing with the second Adam, Jesus Christ. He tempted Jesus in the wilderness. Come back and watch it in Matthew 4. And yet Jesus did not fall for the lie, but he answered every lie and accusation with the truth of God's word. Jesus remained free from the trap of sin by simply knowing the truth and obeying it. If Jesus had to withstand the lies of Satan with the word of God, how much more should we stand against the lies with the eternal word of God? And of course, that means we must know the word of God. We must believe the word of God. But one step further, we must believe it enough to trust it. Trust it. You know what I'm saying? We got to believe it enough to actually put our faith in it, rest in the truths of the Word of God. But watch me. Not only do we have to trust the Word of God, but we've got to obey and do the Word of God. Now, we can talk about this all day, but we are not going to see the blessings that God wants us to have until we actually put it in action. And not just for one day. Now, I told you last week that these early messages are foundational. And we think we know these principles, but often we do not actually live by them. At times, I think many Christians believe the lie of Satan when he said, "Hath God said?" We will often believe man that we can see instead of God that we cannot see. But Romans 3:3 says, "For what if some did not believe?" So, well, we don't believe. Watch it. Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? In other words, if I don't believe it, then it's not true. But wait a minute, they said, "Oh, God forbid," he goes on, "yea, let God be true and every man a liar." He said, we are going to overcome the urge. Watch. Let me back up and say this again. If every man's a liar, he didn't say every other man is a liar. He said every man's a liar. And by the way, that includes you ladies, just so you know. "I knew my husband was a liar." No, that's not what I'm talking about. Every person is a liar to a certain extent. That means we are. If we're going to overcome the urge to deceive ourselves and convince ourselves of what we want to be true, rather than to live according to the real truth, we're going to have to stop wavering on what is truth and listen to it and obey it. I believe there are many Christians who profess to believe in truth according to the Word of God, but when it comes to the head and we all are forced to decide whether we trust the truth of the Word of God or the wisdom of this world, Many folks still resort to the world's wisdoms and walk away from the Word of God. God's promises are not going to do you any good if you walk away from God's truth, no matter how much time you spend inside the walls of a building that has the word church on the outside. In fact, reading your Bible, you can read it and 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 still walk away from the truth. Truth is essential, but is only of value to you if you actually live by it. Number one, it's going to sound heretical when I first say it, but it's not. Hang tight. We need more than salvation. Now, let me finish the sentence. We need more than salvation to live a victorious Christian life. After all we spoke on last year, I'm sure there are still folks who are not having victory over sin, nor are they seeing the great and precious promises, nor developing the divine nature that is promised, because they're not giving all diligence to add to their faith. I truly want folks to experience the abundant life promised by Jesus. Now, I'm going to go back to the beginning of our passage here, and I'm going to walk through this one more time and give you some points here. Back to John 8:31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed. They believe that Jesus is a Savior and a Messiah, and that's good. But they can't stop there. What did Jesus say was the next step? If ye continue in my word, stay in it, abide in it. Watch this, endure it. The begats, and he begat this, and he begat this, and he begat. You know what? There's a lot of goody in there. The problem is you don't know the goody until you've read the book back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. All of a sudden you find out, I was that guy right there. Now there's some moments you have no idea who they are. I understand. But somebody go back and say, oh, that's who that was. Well, that's who that was. Listen, you know what when you read the genealogy, do you realize that there was two hookers in God's lineage and in the lineage of Jesus Christ? Not really. But they had girls, they had Ruth of Moab. The Bible says the Moabites were not supposed to come into the congregation of the Jews. But Jesus had his great-great-great-grandmother was Ruth, the Moabitess. One of them was Rahab, the harlot from Jericho. You know what that teaches me? Well, he's filthy. No, it means God forgives and washes clean and does great things with you if you'll come to him. He says, they that said to the Jews, which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, stay in it, abide in it, endure it, then are ye my disciples indeed. You're a learner. You really are a learner. If you're continuing, really trying to learn, it says, indeed, truly, really a learner for real, not just looking like one, not just showing up in church, but taking what they learn in church, taking it home with them, applying it to their lives by living it. And he says, if I continue in his word and be his disciples, watch, 32, I and ye shall know the truth. Ye shall understand, be resolved in it, be settled in your heart. Listen, how many times do we think, what should I do? Which is right? Learn how to make a decision. I just wish I knew what was the truth. What am I really supposed to do? God says you can know the truth if you continue in his word. So I don't see it in there. He says it's there. I don't see it in there. It's not worth reading. He says it's there. Go find it. Read it. In fact, the Bible says the Holy Spirit will bring these things back to your remembrance. He'll guide you into all truth. That's a promise. Go Go back to John 16. That's a promise. Watch, it goes on. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free, liberated, morally exempt, no longer a slave to sin. Verse 33, they, the Jews who had believed, they're saved. Church answered him, we be Abraham's seed. We're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? You know what they said? We're Americans. We are the definition of freedom. Nobody in the world has more freedom than we do. We have freedom of religion and freedom of speech. We have the right to liberty and life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness. How can you say we need to be made free? The church at Laodicea said, hey, we've got everything we need. We're rich, we're full, and didn't know that we're poor and wretched and blind. And many in the church of Jesus Christ in 2024 live right there. I really don't need all this church stuff. I really don't need all this Bible stuff. You know, I think a lot of people don't really know what God could do. And so they don't really get into it. Verse 34. Verily I say unto you, he says, listen, whosoever committeth sin is the servant, the bond slave, bound to it as a slave. He that committeth sin is a slave to sin. You could say it that way. Slaves with faults and offenses, they just get the best of us. Verse 35. And the servant abideth not in the house forever. In other words, this slave doesn't get to live in the master's house. They live in the barn or other dwelling. Now, wait a minute. We know that we're saved by grace through faith. We're going to heaven. But I want to live with Jesus now. I want to live in his house. I don't want to feel like I'm living out here in the barn or out in the wilderness. Listen, you want to be treated like one of God's children? Then hang around God's children. Hang around Jesus. God's not been good to me. That's because you're living in the barn. Stop living in the barn. God says, listen, the servant doesn't live in the house. But the son abideth ever. And the way the grammar is basically is this. The son abideth ever in the house. He's always there. He's not over there. You want to have a relationship with the son, then you've got to be where he does. But wait a minute. That's because we're a slave. A slave to what? A slave to sin. Well, how could I get rid of that? That if I should know the truth, then the truth shall make me free. So I need to continue in the Word of God to learn the truth so I'm no longer a slave to sin. And when I'm no longer a slave, I can live in the house. You follow what I'm saying? We miss it. He said, listen, the Son abideth ever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, liberated, exempt from being a slave, ye shall be free, no longer restrained, living in liberty, no longer a slave, the same as a free-born person, ye shall be free indeed. Really. Not pretending, not kind of hoping, not putting on a persona, not kind of trying to make you feel good, but imagine that you're actually walking with God. But you shall be free, really. In fact, overall, sin no longer has power. It's not getting the best of you. Oh, we have our issues. But we confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and we're back in the house. Do you ever have your kids come to the house? I remember when I was a kid, back in the day, you could go out and play all day in the neighborhood, come back for dinner. You know, you didn't care about anybody guys trying to steal your kid. Everything was fine. And so I'd go out there and I'd play and play. And sometimes I'd get ready to, and my mom could see me through the screen door coming to the door. Oh, hold on. You take the shoes off. Let me get the broom and I'll brush you off. I mean, we were a bunch of boys. Hey, brush you off. And there was a couple of times it says, you take your clothes off here. Just go down your underwear and get up there, you know. Clean up before you walk in the door. Okay? And God's, listen, you want to be in God's house, we can't be a servant of sin. We can't be a slave. Slaves don't live in the house. Slaves live in the back houses. You ever go to one of these places where they had slave quarters and so forth? That's what he's saying. You want to get in the house, you got to get cleaned up. You got to stop that stuff. But the fact is, he says, I'll clean you up if you're willing to. Because I really would want you in here. But you're not coming in here dirty. There are way too many people that get saved but are never freed from the power of sin in their lives. They know they are going to heaven, but they never gain victory over the sin in their daily lives. Why is that? Because they still live according to the lies of the world. Well, why is that? Because they don't truly know the truth. Well, why is that? Because they do not continue in His Word. They do not stay in it and abide in it. God loves you and wants you to have victory over the strongholds in your life, but you must stick with Jesus and the Word of God to have that victory. Now, please don't sit there and hear blah, 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 blah. Too many times, we're like Charlie Brown when we go to church. The music is done, and then you hear, wah, 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 wah. You ever hear the old Charlie Brown? Whenever an adult talks, that's what you hear, this, wah, 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 wah. Have ears to hear. So, we need more than salvation to live a victorious Christian life. Number two, Jesus is the truth, so Jesus is the source of victory. It says, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We shall know the Word of God. But you know, when you know the Word of God, you also know Jesus. Because Jesus is the Word. The Word was made flesh. And dwelt among us. We beheld His glory. The glory of the only begotten the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus is the truth, so Jesus is the source of victory. Now, do you really know Jesus? I want you to take your Bible and turn a few pages over to John 15. Got three stops here this morning. I know this is getting a little bit tough here, but listen to me here. I don't want to stop because we won't get the whole thought here. John 15, 5. Now, this is a passage you know. There's a passage you know. And Jesus is speaking here. And Jesus says in verse number 5 of John 15, Jesus says, I am the vine. In other words, that's the root of the plant. That's where the life-giving juices come from. You know what I'm saying? Then he says, y'all, are the branches. The branches is where the fruit grows. You are the ones that bear the fruit. You are the ones that see the glory of God. In fact, if Christianity was an apple tree, you're the branches, and you're the ones that are producing the apples. But you know what? Sometimes we produce apples full of worms and spots and junk and disformed. There's issues. We want to make sure that everything's flowing the right way. The juices are coming up, and it works in the fruit. We're the branches. Now watch. He that abideth, the branch that abides, in other words, stays in place, is attached to, he that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. You will, in other words, you will see the Lord producing all kinds of good things in your life. Now watch me. Have you ever, we've had some storms. Every once in a while you have some storms, and you have some twigs on the tree, they get broken. And they're still hanging there. They're still there, still going to church, but it snapped. And it looks okay for a little bit. And then the leaves start to curl up. And they turn brown. And they fall off. And the limb, the branch gets brittle. In fact, you can come along and just snap it off. Whereas you had a fresh limb, you can't do it. You try to snap that limb, you know, and it's rubbery and it's hanging on, it's not going anywhere. A lot of Christians cut off the circulation. They cut off the connection to the vine where the life-giving juices are, and the life-giving juices stop. And we wonder why we're dead. Now, there's some who got saved, but they never really connected to the life-giving juices. They're not making use of it. You see, he says, I've got to be attached to him. He says, you and me, and then I and you. What's that mean? His life coming through us. We've got to be attached to him. We've got to be saved, but we've got to have the life-giving juices coming through us. Now watch, verse. If a man abide not in me, so the life-giving juices aren't coming through. What happens? Eventually, he's cast forth as a branch and withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. He's not saying he throws you in hell. You know what he's saying? If you choose not to abide in Jesus through his word, your life will end up being trash and a waste and of no value to you or others, and in fact, probably a problem to others and yourself. You might, it's just a mess. Here's the thing. God can take that dead limb and make it alive again. In him is life. If you wonder why life is just not working for you, it's most likely because you're not attached to the giver of life. Here is the other option. Look at verse 7. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, that's the life-giving sap. Ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Watch this. God is available to help you through this, give you the victory, and if you live in and by the Word of God, and then ask the Lord to help you fulfill what God is asking you to do in the Word of God. He says, you're saying, I'm hoping God's not listening to me. Abide in Him by His Word. Live in a house. And then Jesus says, well, what do you need? I just got this. I've got this stronghold in my life I just cannot get rid of. Well, let's work on it. Let me see what I can do for you. But you know what, Susan? You know what? We stopped reading the Bible. You know what we just did? Snap the limb. Cut off the circulation. No, I mean, if you cut off the circulation, no fruit. You've got to abide in it. You've got to stay there. It goes on. Verse 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. Watch this. God wants to work through you, to use you as example of what God can do, to encourage somebody else to let him do it for them. God wants to work through you to show the rest of the world what he can do for them. Why would Jesus do that for us? Because, verse 9, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. Now watch. We continue in his love by continuing in his word and obeying his word. If you love me, the Bible says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Watch. Verse 10. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. In other words, find in the word of God what you're supposed to be doing and then do it, and you'll see God bless you. He said, listen, when I continue in the word, I'm continuing in life. I'm continuing in the life of Jesus. And really what I'm going to do, though, that means I'm in here. I get to now abide in his love. Hey, Jesus. He's mine. What a friend we have in Jesus. A lot of people have seen that song and go, that's a stupid song. He's not a friend. Where is he? He's no place around here. He's no friend. Not abiding with him. I'm sorry, I just did abiding there. I'm sorry, brother. You're not abiding with him. I got to quit. Do number three. Now watch me. You need more than salvation to live the victorious Christian life. Jesus Christ is the truth. So Jesus Christ is the source of the victory. Number three, mortal man is deceitful. Including us. Mortal man is deceitful. We lie to ourselves. Don't be fooled by your own heart. Most people never get the victory over sin in their lives because they never bother to continue in God's word so they can know the truth, so that the truth can set them truly free, because they deceive themselves into thinking they don't need to bother with the work and the endurance needed to know God's word so they can abide in it. It's really not that important. Turn to Jeremiah 17, Old Testament. Close to the middle of the Bible there. Jeremiah 17. This is a passage that was written. Jeremiah lived during a time a little bit before and a little bit after the captivity. He was one of the last prophets that said, listen, Israel, straighten up, straighten up. God told you how to live. If you want to live in this land, this is how you're supposed to live, and you're not doing it. If you're not careful, God's going to send you into captivity, put you to a woodshed for 70 years. And he did that for a while, and the fact is, finally comes a point, he says, forget it. You've crossed the line. God says he's done. Have your parents say, you're arguing with them, arguing with the father, and your parents says, I'm done. You're in trouble. They're done. I'm done. Jesus said, I'm done. I mean, God said, I'm done. He says, you're going to go into captivity for 70 years. But he's explaining why. Why have they come to this point? Verse 9, chapter 17, Jeremiah 17, 9. The heart is deceitful above all things. Wow. You know what that means? In the makeup of all the universe, there is nothing as deceitful as the human heart. Now let that sink in. In fact, we're so deceitful, we lie to ourselves and tell us we're not deceitful. God says the human heart is deceitful. You better accept it if you want to understand how to live for God. The heart is deceitful above all things. Watch. Man is the most intelligent creation on earth, and thus has the greatest propensity and ability to be deceitful. He's very intelligent, but the heart is sinful. Listen, you send some guy to jail, and they want to rehabilitate him, so they give him a trade. Make him a locksmith. Give him a trade. You know what we just did? You made a smart crook. What we need to be, they're going to be rehabilitated. They've got to be changed in the heart. That's the difference. And the back, listen, if it has to change in his heart, it has to change in our heart. We may not have gone that far with it. Listen, some of us were brought up in homes where you were taught integrity. You were taught if you work hard and you're honest, you'll get ahead in life and you'll be okay. And that's good. There's nothing wrong with that. But the fact is, even if we were never taught that, when God's Word is inside of you, the Holy Spirit is changing who you are, that starts to come up anyway. The heart is deceitful above all things, watch, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The word desperately there is the same word as desperation. There are some folks who are so slaved to their sin and they can't get out. They're addicted. It's got control over them and they are in desperation. He says, I'm wicked. I've fallen and I can't get up. The heart of man in its natural state is deceitful above all things and can't get up. Now settle that in your heart. We are not good. I know you think you can certainly trust yourself, but we lie to ourselves. We don't want to hurt our feelings. Right? We don't want to hurt our own feelings. Let God be true and every man a liar. It's interesting, the word deceitful above all, that word in the original sense means to swell up, puffed up. I know what's going on. But it has a connection to it, means fraudulent, crooked, deceitful, polluted. It's from a word that means to seize the heel, rot on the other, or trip another person. Believe it or not, comes from the same word that the name Jacob, supplanter, comes from. He was riding the heels and he was doing what he shouldn't be. That's why God used that. And finally, Jacob came to the end of himself, and he says, I'm a dead man if I don't get God in on this. And one night by the river Jabbok, he wrestled with a man from God, whoever it was. He said, I think it was the pre-incarnate Christ myself. They wrestled till the sun came up. And even the angel kind of hit his hip and put it out, basically telling him, listen, I could kill you with a finger. But he kept wrestling with him. It was all done. The angel said, what's your name? He said, Jacob. Supplanter. Deceitful. Mr. Deceitful. He says, I tell you what, from now on your name's going to be Israel. For ye shall be a prince with God. Because you know how to get things from God. What does that mean? Jesus said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. What that means? It means he believed in God. He believed that he is and that he is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. Listen, you want a victory over the mess in our life. We want to see something greater in our life. You've got to grab a hold of God. You've got to abide in him. Hang on to him. I will not let you go. I want what you have promised we can have. That's faith. That's not just coming in and sitting in a pew and saying, okay, God. Well, I guess maybe we'll try next week. Listen, the heart of man is like Jacob's heart, desperately wicked. Bible says, who can know it? Who understands it? Who don't even, listen, we don't even know our own heart. How many times has something come flying out of your mouth? I'm not talking about when you're eating, by the way. Something flying out of your mouth and you wish, and you thought, well, where do those words come from? The Bible says, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. In other words, your words tell us what you are. Tells us what you are. Well, that's fine, I understand. It tells us what you are. Just remember. So the Lord knows our heart. Verse 10 says, the Lord searches the heart. He says, I try the reins even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. I'm getting finished here. Number 4, don't trust a liar. Don't trust a liar, excuse me. Man is naturally a liar. Romans 3:3 says, for what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? A lot of people say, well, I've just chosen not to believe what the Bible says about this, or that there's a God. I've chosen. So does that make it not true? No. It makes you stupid. And then it says, God forbid. Don't do that. Listen. Here's our philosophy. Let God be true and every man a liar. Now, if every man is a liar, then don't trust yourself. Trust the word of God above yourself. Go back to Jeremiah 17, but verse 5. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. In other words, he's trusting man. In his heart, he's trusting man rather than trusting the Lord. If you're going to trust man who's a liar, then you're not trusting him, not trusting the Lord. You departed from the Lord. Curse a man, the trusted man, and make it flesh his arm, whose heart departed from the Lord. Watch. For he shall be like the heath in the desert.
Travel on like a tumbling tumbleweed. Some of you remember old Roy Rogers and all the tumbling tumbleweed.
That's what the heath is. It's that weed, that little bush that's not attached to anything. It's dry and it's brittle, and you just see it blowing across the road out there in the Midwest. That's what it is. He says, that's your life. You're not going to attach yourself to the word of God. That's your life, just being blown here and there like the chaff in the wind. For he should be like the heath in the desert and shall not see when good cometh. In other words, good things will be available, but it's going to pass right by him. He'll be someplace else. Somehow he just won't, he'll miss it. But shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness. Just blowing around the desert. Here and there. In a salt land. In other words, where nothing grows and not inhabited. Don't trust a liar, even if that liar is you. Proverbs 28:26. That's the address of our teacher's house. It's 2826 Brownstone. Anyway, 28:26 says, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. But whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. As soon as we take God off the throne, we become a fool, even though we may think we are really smart. Romans 1:18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in the heavens. For God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Didn't give him credit for being who he was. neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination. Their foolish heart was darkened, professing themselves to be wise. They became fools. We lie to ourselves. A person can convince themselves of almost anything. We tell ourselves that everything is just fine, even when it's not. We think that convincing ourselves that everything is fine is giving ourselves security, but it's false security, and we think false security is good. We lie to ourselves and tell ourselves that if I feel like everything is good, then everything's good. It's almost like if we refuse to believe things are bad, then they're not really bad. In fact, the world kind of tells you to live like that. Psychologists tell you to live like that. They really do. They're not fixing the problem. They just give you some medication or some thought just to kind of smooth it over so you can get through the next day. And if I want to change the reality of truth, all I need to do is wish it and decide that truth is actually different than reality. No. Listen, determine that you will not lie to yourself so you're not controlled by your own sinfulness, but made free by abiding in the Word of God. 1 Corinthians 6:9, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But ye are washed. But ye are sanctified. There's the two steps again. Those that believed on him continued in his word to learn truth, and the truth should make them free. That's what sanctification is. He says, listen, we got rid of all this stuff. How? We were washed in the blood of Jesus, but we were made free by the word of God. It says, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. All things, listen, all things are lawful unto me. I can still go to heaven. But all things are not expedient. It's not good for me. All things are lawful for me, but it will not be brought under the power of any. Why does sin get the best of us? Because we deceive ourselves in thinking we don't need truth. Truth will set us free, but only if we apply the truth. For the truth to be effective, we must know truth, be willing to obey truth, and to live by truth. Don't lie to yourself. Don't convince yourself that you don't need truth. That too is a lie from our own deceitful